You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program, already in progress on this Monday. Best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Your opportunity to jump in. You got phone calls. We'll get to those. 877-3DP-SHOW. You can tweet if you'd like. Make sure you sign up. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, make sure you sign up. The only way that you can be involved, enter the Celebrity Bracket Challenge. I mentioned this last hour. You can compete with the likes of Michael Douglas, Bryan Cranston, Jim Parsons, Guy Fieri, Darius Rucker, Bob Costas. Jack Nicklaus is involved in the Bracket Challenge this year. Of course he is. Alex Ovechkin, Jake from State Farm is there. Also, Wayne Gretzky, Adam Sandler. You can be in the Bracket Challenge. Doesn't cost you anything. You just have to be on the newsletter to be able to submit your bracket. And then your name will be listed with these celebrities. We'll keep track of all of that and let you know where you stand. Pride is what you win if you win the Bracket Challenge. Yes, Paulie?
Meryl Streep just confirmed for the
She didn't.
She's thinking about it.
No, she's thinking about it.
But she knows she has till Thursday to get it in if she wants to do it.
Yeah. But that doesn't stop Fritzy from inviting everybody. He invited Sting. And I said, well, sure. See what Sting...
I just love getting those messages back. I'm sorry, Mr. Stallone, you will not be able to participate.
I said reach out to Sandra Bullock. See if Sandy wants to join us there. I'm thinking Post Malone. Post Malone would be a guy who'd probably want to do it.
Miss Witherspoon doesn't really follow college basketball, so she's going to take a pass, but thanks for thinking of her.
Yes, Paulie.
I jokingly mentioned Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, a couple weeks ago. Fritzy did send the email to Justin Trudeau's people.
Why not?
Just asking for a response. If they can't do it or they won't do it, but it's just nice to know that it's something that they received and would even consider approaching them with.
Yeah. So you can be involved in the Bracket Challenge. By the way, the play-in games, the first four, is Thursday night. Friday is when it officially starts with the first round, but you have the play-in games. Yes, McLovin.
So the play-in games has a couple teams that, like Michigan State. So do people wait, or how's that work with the brackets? I always am confused. I know you can fill them out now, but I want to pick Michigan State to go far, but they have to play an extra game. It's unfair.
Do we have an official rule on that?
We're looking into it.
I have the bracket challenge up right now. I'm going to look into it right now.
Yeah, because I don't know if we ever picked the first four.
And you're a big Mount St. Mary's fan. They lead off Thursday night against Texas Southern.
It's called the Mount?
That's right.
Only?
Drake, Wichita State, App State, Norfolk State.
Yeah. But I it's weird when you start to look at these teams that people say, oh, they could be a surprise. Like Ohio. I watched Ohio play in their conference tournament. And then there's part of me that, you don't want anybody to find out about them. Because it feels like UC Santa Barbara. Oh, don't tell anybody. And now everybody has UC Santa Barbara winning their first game there. Ohio U is a good team. They really are. Winthrop. Like, there's a couple of these teams where I watched the games. I didn't watch any highlights. I watched the damn game. And now everybody's going to go, I'm thinking about Winthrop. It's Winthrop. Yeah. Yes, Paul.
I briefly heard Clark Kellogg reference something about Colgate's offense being unstoppable. And so I'm sure I'm going to pick them to win two games. Colgate.
Yeah, of course. Best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Dial us up. It's the first official day. Well, it's the first official day of flirting with free agencies, and then free agents, and then free agency starts officially on Wednesday. And we'll talk to Mike Florio about those on the move and those staying put. Aaron Jones re-signs with the Packers. Drew Brees officially announces retirement. Is Jameis Winston going to be the starter in New Orleans? We'll get in a Russell Wilson question as well. There have been reports, varying reports. I know that Russell Wilson's side of this, I don't think that they've even been contacted by Seattle. I don't think that they're involved in anything. Somebody who worked for the Seahawks said, that there's no reason to be talking because Russ is our quarterback. And then I said, but it doesn't feel, it feels like the Jets have made it more official or given a firm confirmation that they love Sam Darnold more than Seattle does. And maybe it's just show because Zach Wilson is waiting for him in the number 2 pick overall if they want that, or maybe there's a trade out there. But I haven't seen anything where there's confirmation that Seattle says Russ isn't going anywhere. He's our quarterback. Now, Pete Carroll may feel like, I don't need to do this. But in this situation, feels like you do. And I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, and Ian Rappaport brought it up, I think, yesterday. But it's what I told you 2 weeks ago. The Seahawks haven't returned any phone calls from the four teams that Russ is interested in. Now there's only three teams. If the Bears do have a huge, you know, package of draft picks or players or whatever they're offering there to blow away the Seahawks, Seattle, from what I'm told, has not gotten back to anybody. And I was told that 2 weeks ago, and it was reaffirmed yesterday, that they aren't necessarily engaging. They're listening. They're not engaging. And there's a big difference in that. Do I think the Bears can offer, you know, there was a report they're going to offer five first-round picks. Well, you can't do that. You can go 4 years. You can't go 5 years with a first-round draft pick. So that's incorrect. Are you going to have players in there? I still think the Raiders make the most sense. Because if I'm Seattle, I'm Pete Carroll, and when I'm going to be 70 years of age, who's my quarterback? Geno Smith? I want to win. I want to win again. And if you're going to make a trade and trade Russell Wilson, I got to get a quarterback back. And I got to get draft picks. Well, the Raiders, to me, I can get Derek Carr. All right, maybe he's not the long-term solution. He's pretty good. And if I get draft picks, then maybe that would be a better destination. And that's one of the three teams that are on the list there for Russell Wilson. But I don't think that they're, you know, Russell Wilson hasn't done anything, hasn't had any press conferences. His agent hasn't said anything other than there were four teams that Russ would be interested in if they were willing to trade him. But I haven't heard anything from Seattle. And as far as the Bears loading up and making a great offer, I don't know what they can really offer. Do I know that Russ likes Chicago and loves that they got an offensive line? He likes Matt Nagy as a play caller? Okay. But we always think of the guy going to a team instead of what are you getting in return? Like Deshaun Watson. Oh, man, could you imagine him if he went to fill in the blank? But in this situation, it's you guys think about Seattle. Because Russ has a no trade. These are the only teams that he's listening to or will listen to, those offers. You know, the Jets in Miami, from what I'm told, have made offers for Russ. He doesn't want to go there. And those teams can offer more than these other teams. So if you're Seattle, you're saying, you know what, let's not engage with anybody. Maybe Russ expands his wish list of teams that he would play for, and then maybe you could get more teams involved. If I'm Seattle and I think that this is the point of no return, what can I get now? Because we will be remembered as trading Russell Wilson. We're trading a future Hall of Fame quarterback. What are we getting? Who are we getting? And are we going to be a team that can still win 12 games? Imagine they were 12-4. It's not like they, you know, you're 7-9. They're 12-4. Now, do I think it was a shallow 12-4? Yeah. But still, in that division, you're 12-4. But it feels like if you're going to get some offensive linemen, are you getting draft picks? And am I getting a quarterback in return? The Bears can't offer that. The Saints can't offer that. Vegas is the only team that can offer that of the three teams left. I think it makes more sense, if you could, to get the Jets and if Russ would want to go to New York. And there have been reports before that, you know, sources close to people said that Russ wanted to go to the Jets a year ago or 2 years ago. That was never the case. He didn't want to go to the Jets. These are the teams that he wants to go to. But unless you're getting, because if I'm Seattle and I send Russ to the Jets, okay, I could have Sam Darnold if I want him, or I could have Sam Darnold and that number two pick overall, or I could just take the number two pick overall and a, you know, a couple other picks and a defensive player. All right, I like that. This is a team that was, just so you know, here's the background. They loved Patrick Mahomes. Seattle did. And they loved Josh Allen. That was reiterated to me last week. That, you know, just so you know, because I said to a source with the Seahawks, I said, it just doesn't feel like you guys have been all in on Russ. And then I was told, well, you know, I know that the team loved Josh Allen. I thought they were going to try to make a move with Josh Allen. And then Patrick Mahomes. So they were kicking the tires on those two quarterbacks. But as far as trading Russ, can you trade Russ? And also factor this in, which isn't being factored in as well. When Russ gets there, Russ isn't playing for this salary. You're not getting a bargain. When Russ goes, Russ is going to want to get paid $40 million a year. At least. Factor that in as well. You know, are the trade talks heating up? Well, they can't heat up unless Seattle engages. Like, how does it heat up? It doesn't heat up unless you have both sides willing to talk about this. And from what I'm told, they haven't engaged. They haven't returned phone calls. Doesn't mean the Bears aren't going to go all in, try to offer something. But also, this is a coach and a GM whose jobs are attached to what they do this season. And you're going to give up all this capital, and then you get Russ. What else do you have? And that's something to factor in as well. When you trade for one of these players, what you give up, and what's that mean? I always go back to Carmelo Anthony. He wanted out of Denver. Wanted to get paid, wanted out of Denver. Well, the Knicks had to give up everything to get him. And then he gets there and is like, wait a minute, who do I got? There's no one here. That's also something that has to be factored in. Deshaun Watson. If Deshaun Watson's going to go to Carolina, what are you giving me? Teddy Bridgewater? Christian McCaffrey? Everybody wants a young quarterback. The Texans have a young quarterback. He just doesn't want to play there. But he's under contract, long-term contract. It should be the ideal situation, and somehow the Texans screwed it up. Yes, Paul.
I think you had a great point there about like the livelihood of the GM. If the GM, if he somehow convinces Russell Wilson to calm down, gets him a lineman and a wide receiver, they're going to win 10 games every year plus, and he stays employed for another decade. I think it's John Schneider's the GM. He's been there a decade. Sure, his wife and kids love it there. You keep Russell Wilson, you're staying employed. Once you trade Russ, you're on the clock. And whoever you draft, you get a year or two. But if you start missing playoffs 2 years in a row, it's over.
Yeah, but Schneider just signed a long-term extension. I don't know how long Pete Carroll wants to coach.
I guess I'm saying, though, Russell Wilson, keeping him happy, you pick up a lineman and a wide receiver is a lot easier than finding a future all-pro quarterback.
I think it has to do with Russ has got to be seated at the table with them. That it's one thing to get a lineman or a wide receiver, whatever it might be. Russ wants to be heard.
Wouldn't you consider doing that from the standpoint of we share credit, but we share blame? And if Russell's at the table for personnel decisions, then the GM could say, like, look, this is who he wanted. Here's who we agreed upon.
They don't fire a quarterback.
Yeah.
They'll fire a coach. But would I do it? Yes. In this situation, if he's demanding it, I wouldn't have given Deshaun Watson a seat at the table. He hasn't earned it. But if you say you get a seat at the table and then you don't, you pull the chair from underneath him, then I blame management. I blame the team. But if Brady doesn't have it or Ben doesn't have it or Breeze didn't have it, I'm not giving it. You know, does Patrick Mahomes have it? I don't know. But I would not be giving it to Patrick Mahomes. Let the people who do this for a living. The case in point, I bring it up. Michael Jordan was not good at assessing talent that he wanted brought in. Jerry Krause, the GM, was really good at it. Michael, the greatest player of all time, was not good at assessing talent. Look at what he did with Adam Morrison and Kwame Brown. He wanted to get his friends in or players that he was familiar with. But Jerry Krause was the one who was making some of the smart moves there. Let people do their jobs. But as far as what the Bears are doing, I'm going to guess they're swinging for the fences. I would be if I was that coaching staff. But I think Vegas makes far more sense. By the way, 15 years after the day he signed with the Saints, Drew Brees officially announced his retirement. And, you know, his place among the greatest quarterbacks of all time is secure. He retires most passing yards in NFL history. But the lasting legacy is not about as a football player. It's really the connection to the city of New Orleans. After Hurricane Katrina, Brees and the Saints provided that beacon of hope during a very tough time. And Brees threw himself into relief efforts. He remained an active member of his community. And his rise to the Hall of Fame wasn't exactly a straight line. You know, here's an Austin, Texas native, wasn't recruited by the University of Texas, went to Purdue, went to the Chargers, second round, good in San Diego, got hurt, and then he didn't go to Miami to play for Nick Saban. He was united with Sean Payton in New Orleans. They got one Super Bowl ring. He had 7 passing titles, 13 Pro Bowls, and he ends a remarkable career as the greatest player in Saints history. And you start to think about his first game, he came in relief of Doug Flutie. His only Super Bowl was a win over Peyton Manning, and his last game was a loss to Tom Brady. Remarkable career. And hopefully we'll hear from Drew here in the coming days, holding off his retirement. Made his retirement known earlier today on NBC, and here's his decision to retire.
That's a decision that you don't just wake up one day and say, hey, I'm going to retire. It's definitely a process. And listen, I'm 42 years old. I've had a chance to play this game for 20 years in the NFL. And I think for the last few years, you know, I felt like this moment was coming. And it just made me so laser focused on staying in the moment, just knowing that at some point I will retire and move on to the next chapter. And I want to be able to look back with incredible memories and knowing that I gave it my absolute best.
Do you have an against the grain on Drew Brees, McLovin?
I do. And it's just, I don't want to say anything mean about him today of all days, but I don't know if I can hold back.
Okay. How about we take a break? And then you can be mean to Drew Brees, and then Mike Florio is going to join us.
That sounds good.
Okay, is that all right?
Yeah.
I don't want to overhype this, but...
No, it's not overhype. It's just, it's not the day to go negative on Drew Brees, and that's why it's against the grain.
Okay, yeah, Paul.
Does Drew Brees get, like, half a credit for making a second Super Bowl because it got stolen on the pass interference call with the Rams? It feels like he gets almost like one Super Bowl appearance was robbed because of a call.
No.
He doesn't get half a point.
No, he doesn't.
I'm going to give him one third of a Super Bowl.
Well, good luck with that. I'll look at his Wikipedia page here.
I'll alter it.
Yeah. Coming up on 19 after the hour, we'll give you our best and worst of the weekend. Poll question, McLovin, did we settle on one?
Oh, we still have what's the biggest storyline of the tournament so far? It's been COVID, so we should probably switch it up because everyone seems to think that's the big deal. I don't think there's another storyline that jumps out is the problem.
I think it's Gonzaga going undefeated, but... The first week, I don't think you're thinking about Gonzaga going undefeated. Once you know we get to the Elite Eight, certainly the Final Four, and then that'll be headline worthy. But you know, as you get ready to start the tournament, the fact that we could have a team or a couple of teams that get pulled out of the tournament, and then you have four schools right now that are waiting, practicing, quarantining, and hoping that they can get in because of somebody's misfortune. All right, Mike Florio will join us and get his thoughts on a variety of things, including whatever McLovin's bombshell is about Drew Brees. And he's going to be mean to Drew Brees. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. LifeLock. LifeLock is here to protect you. And I hope you listen to what I say about this because it's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. The IRS just issued an urgent warning about a new scam. They're stealing electronic filing identification numbers from tax professionals over email. Cyber criminals can use the information to file fraudulent tax returns. Get LifeLock, okay? LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they will send you an alert. Don't be one of those people who says, oh, I should have. How about be one of those people who says, I did? Be proactive here. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But You can keep what's yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now. Save up to 25% off your first year. 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com, promo code Patrick. LifeLock.com, promo code Patrick for 25% off. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Make sure you sign up for the DP Show newsletter, danpatrick.com. You get a wrap-up of the day's show. Arrives in your email, your inbox, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. All right, McLovin, are you ready to be mean to Drew Brees on the day after he announces his retirement?
Okay, just real quick. I've been hearing a lot of where's Drew Brees rank all time.
Wait, now is this Tuesday mid-morning? Yeah. Quarterback on a Monday.
This is TMMQB on Monday.
Okay.
New segment, Scoop of the Nation.
Okay.
So Drew Brees, all-time leading passer, right?
Yeah.
Big numbers. Okay, come on. He's not going to be a top five all-time quarterback. You can't ignore the fact that he did this in a dome and that his rating is 11 points lower on the road than it is at home. There's just no way he ends up in the top five. I think he's always going to be viewed by that.
Did Peyton Manning do most of his damage in a dome?
He did, and I do not put Peyton Manning as high as everyone else either. I put Elway ahead of Manning for that very reason.
Okay.
I have Drew Brees eighth on my list here.
Give me your list.
Tom Brady, okay. Joe Montana, John Elway, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, Aaron Rodgers. This is where I'm going to get in trouble. I put Favre ahead of Brees. Is that completely crazy? Favre's got a million interceptions. That's the one where I wasn't sure. So I have Brees just a little bit lower. And then Steve Young right after Brees. So I have Brees 8 and Steve Young 9.
Well, I'd probably look at it and go, if I had to rely on my quarterback, like can I just put the game plan on him? Favre, you put the game plan on him. I don't know if you always put the game plan on Drew Brees. Elway, definitely.
What about Marino, who never won a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard to get in that top five if you haven't won a Super Bowl. Whether that's being fair to Marino or not. But I feel like today's rules, Marino would be what he did when he did it in 1984. He was so far ahead of his time. And if you gave him today, where you can't put your hand on anybody, and I mean, he'd throw for probably close to 6,000 yards, it feels like. Yeah, McLovin.
This is a question for you and maybe for Mike too. Like, what about the older guys though? I guess this is the last 30 years because the Staubach or Bradshaw or Johnny U, like, I don't know how you compare those. Do you do that game or do you stay away?
It feels like it's pre 1980, post 1980. Maybe it's pre 1990. I mean, we get into these arguments, these discussions, and is Brady better than Montana? You know, because he has more Super Bowls, I guess. Yeah. But I think Elway's the best quarterback of all time, in my opinion. But Brady is the most decorated. You know, Bill Russell's the most decorated basketball player, not the best player of all time. So, I don't know if that answers.
That wasn't too mean to Drew Brees. He'll come on the show, right?
Well, we'll see. Let's bring in Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk Live co-host. I don't know what you make of what we just said there, Mike, but we did fill up about 4 minutes.
Yeah, no, it allowed me to catch up on some text messages, so I appreciate that.
Was McLovin being mean to Drew Brees?
He wasn't being mean to Drew Brees. Look, there are categories like this where reasonable minds will differ. The thing that impresses me the most about Drew Brees, number one, inch for inch, pound for pound, arm strength for arm strength. I think he got more out of his God-given abilities than any other quarterback in the history of the NFL. And the statistical things that amaze me the most, Dan, number one, breaking the Johnny Unitas record of consecutive games with a touchdown pass, 47. It stood for so long. Unbelievable how long it stood. Breeze broke that and extended it to 54. And also, there had been one 5,000-yard season before Drew Breeze in 2011. That was Dan Marino. Well, actually, Breeze got to 5,000 before 2011. He broke the record in 11. Dan Marino had 5,084 in 1984. Breeze has five 5,000-yard seasons. No one else has more than one. Now, that's going to change with 17 games and just the way the game is moving. But just from the standpoint of statistical accomplishment and changing the narrative forever when it comes to short quarterbacks, he deserves a spot in that top 10, whether it's five, whether it's eight, whether it's 10. Again, reasonable minds can differ, but he's one of the all-time greats.
And the heir apparent in New Orleans is going to be?
I think it's Taysom Hill. Sean Payton has said on record on multiple occasions he wants Jameis Winston to re-sign and compete. The question is, what dollar value can you put on a Jameis Winston contract, especially when you're scrambling to get under the salary cap as it is, restructuring every contract possible, cutting guys that you would like to keep on the team. Surely they would have liked to have kept Emmanuel Sanders. Some guys you're just going to have to move on from. But Hill's making about $12 million this year. Ignore the stuff yesterday about the four-year, $140 million contract. That's all made up. That's all phony. That's
but
just
but explain that, though, Mike, because we all looked at it and went, wait, what are they doing in New Orleans?
Well, we've seen this more and more recently, and I think the reduced salary cap this year, Dan, has a lot to do with it. Teams are adding voidable years onto contracts so they can spread cap dollars. A signing bonus gets spread over multiple years. So when you have a guy like Taysom who's got 1 year left on his contract, there's nowhere to spread any of the money. So you have to do a new contract with voidable years. Voidable means fake, phony. They're going to go away. The contract disappears. So you add 4 years. And I don't think it was an accident that the value was $35 million per year, $140 million. That's the Russell Wilson contract. I think that was kind of an impish little wink nod by the Saints and by Taysom Hill that they're not going to be getting Russell Wilson or even trying to. But that gets presented as 4 years, $140 million, and it's fake. It's phony. It's not real. He's not getting that. But there's people out there who see it, and they think, oh, they're paying him $35 million a year when they're not. It was just a device for creating $7.75 million in cap space that they may end up using to keep Jameis Winston, who'll be the top competition for Taysom Hill at quarterback.
You think Taysom Hill is going to be the starting quarterback in New Orleans?
I think he's got the inside track on the job. He passed the test last year when Drew Brees was injured. The question is, can he stay healthy? And can he outperform Jameis Winston in a head-to-head competition? Winston's been there for a year. First, Winston has to agree to whatever they're offering for him to stay. We'll find out after noon Eastern on Monday whether or not somebody else swoops in and tries to sign him. But Dan, you look at it from Winston's perspective, I don't see another team that's going to offer him a clear shot to a starting job. His best play may be to take whatever he can get in New Orleans, try to secure the job this year, win the competition this year, and then set himself up for a contract next year.
Any news on the Russell Wilson front with the Bears offering whatever they're supposedly offering, even something that you're not allowed to offer, which is, you know, first round picks the next 5 years, which you can only do 4 years, but we were told it was 5 years. Seattle hasn't engaged. Like, this is a game of tennis, but they haven't returned serve here, Mike.
Well, I've heard that it's crickets right now as far as any talk about a possible trade. That doesn't mean it can't happen. But if the Bears are going to do it, they're getting closer and closer to the point where they have to figure out what they're going to do, because their plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E, plan F is going to potentially dry up. So, you know, at some point, you're going to see the Bears make a move that's going to slam the door, just like the Cowboys last week with Prescott slams the door. I think the Saints doing this restructuring with Taysom Hill slams the door there. Here's the real question that I have, because I'm not sure the Bears can put together enough of a package that would get the Seahawks interest. We know that Mark Rogers, Russell Wilson's agent, has identified four teams: Raiders, Bears, Cowboys, Saints. Here's the question. Are there other teams that he's holding back that Russell Wilson would accept a trade to if the alternative is staying in Seattle? Could the Panthers make the list? Could the Jets, who have that second overall pick and four total first-round picks over the next 2 years. Two of them previously belonged to the Seahawks before the Jamal Adams trade. Could the Jets be a place? Could the Dolphins be a place if it doesn't work out with Deshaun Watson? So it makes me wonder, are there other teams? Were the four just a starting point? Because I think it's going to take someone who can really give the Seahawks an obvious path to a franchise quarterback to get this thing done this year. Otherwise, deal with the dysfunction for a year and do a trade next year, assuming that there is dysfunction.
I think the Raiders make the most sense out of all this. I can get a quarterback in return, because if I'm Pete Carroll, I don't want Geno Smith. Like, who's my quarterback here? You know, Andy Dalton or, I mean, fill in the blank, throw out somebody there. I got to get a franchise quarterback of sorts, and I got to get draft picks here. And that, to me, makes more sense than the Bears do.
Well, and then the question becomes, would John Gruden really want to shift from Derek Carr to Russell Wilson, given what he's going to have to give up to get Russell Wilson? You know, John Gruden always wants a different quarterback than the one he has. But then the opportunity comes to get one, and, well, I kind of like the guy that I have, given that I'd have to give up a bunch of stuff to go get Russell Wilson. You know, Derek Carr's got 3 years in this system now. He's getting to the point where he's comfortable doing what Gruden wants. Gruden has gotten him to that level. How long would it take to get Russell Wilson to where you need him to be? And the other side of it too, Dan, when you trade for one of these quarterbacks who isn't real happy where he currently is, you're inheriting those problems. What if you can't protect him the way that he'd like to be protected? What happens the next time he's up for a contract? He's going to want to get to $45 million a year. Every time he does a new contract, he gets at or close to the top of the market. So it's not just getting him, it's keeping him that's an issue too. And I just think that even though it's got the potential to be an issue that hovers over the Seahawks all year long, and any adversity, any issues, any losses, any multiple turnover performances, that question's going to come up. For Pete Carroll, for Russell Wilson, for other players, it's the ultimate distraction. But it looks like they're just going to try to deal with it for a year, unless they get blown away by someone and Russell says, okay, I'll take a trade to that team.
Do you think Russell Wilson, if he goes to a new team, is going to stand pat with his current contract, given what everybody else is making?
No.
Yeah, that's what nobody is talking about. That. Yes.
Yeah. You're going to have to give up all that stuff to get him. And then as soon as he walks through the door, ideally, you want to get the deal done. I'm not a big fan of these contracts we've seen the past couple of years, whether it's Laremy Tunsil, Jalen Ramsey, Jamal Adams. You give up multiple first-round picks for a guy who has a contract you're eventually going to have to deal with. If you don't deal with it on the way through the door, he has all the leverage as you go forward, because what are you going to do? Not pay him when you've given up multiple first-round draft picks to get the guy? So we saw the Texans overpay Tunsil. We saw the Rams arguably overpay Ramsey. We're going to see the Seahawks potentially overpay Adams. I'd want to get a new deal done with Russell Wilson on the way in, because the thing is, over the next year or two, it's only going to get more expensive.
Aaron Jones signing a team-friendly contract, would you say?
Well, the devil's always in the details, and the details remain concealed, especially on the first day that the news comes out. Look, the Packers could have kept him for the next 2 years under the franchise tag at a total payout of $19 million. My understanding, haven't seen the numbers yet, but my understanding is this four-year, $48 million deal is 2 years, $19 million, and then it's a Packers option for year three and year four, like so many of these deals are. It's guaranteed for 2 years, three at the most, and then it's a team option every year after that. But if they could have kept him for $19 million under the tag for last year and this year, I don't know why they'd pay him more than $19 million to sign him to a long-term deal, especially when they got AJ Dillon, second round pick last year. I mean, what, you know, Packers fans get salty when I point this out, and I don't know whether it's because only Packers fans are allowed to say this, but what the hell were they doing with their draft picks last year? Could you imagine if they had actually invested their first round pick in a receiver or someone who would have, you know, played last year? Would that have been the difference in the game against the Buccaneers? Would they have gotten to the Super Bowl and potentially won it? And how can you not be questioning what they were thinking about that burning desire to win now? They have a team that's ready to win now, Dan.
Well, they draft a quarterback, then they draft a running back, you know?
Right.
And you're right, because if I'm Green Bay, bringing back Aaron Jones is wonderful. I don't have a playmaker defensively that, you know, can change a game. And my offensive line, I still have to make sure I shore that up if, you know, Tampa's going to make another run at this. What do you expect to happen this week? Anything big in free agency?
Well, people are always going to get paid at the top end. It may not be as many guys, but the stars are going to get paid. This salary cap cap reduction is going to hurt the middle level guys. And the one position that fascinates me, because we know how important pass rush is, there are so many pass rushers available in free agency. I think that's why the Buccaneers didn't franchise tag Shaq Barrett. And I have a feeling they're going to let him walk away, because 2 years ago, Dan, they got him for 1 year, $4 million, and he had 19 and a half sacks. There are so many names out there of guys that you could plug into that defense, and maybe they just get another Shaq Barrett from 2019 instead of breaking the bank to keep him. Let someone else pay him. Let him get his reward. You could get two or three guys or more to address other needs on your team than what it would be in comparison to pay Shaq Barrett. So I think he gets paid by somebody who just wants to be able to hold up a New Jersey and say, we took Tampa Bay's best defensive player. Meanwhile, Tampa Bay is going to find somebody who dollar for dollar has more production.
Shaq Barrett's in our bracket challenge, as you are as well. Do you know anything about college basketball?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
You probably do well.
I usually know very little. This year, it's less than ever before. I'm just going to, I don't know what I'm going to do. Just random flip a coin, something. I'm going to, I can't do any worse than if I actually knew anything. I've tried it that way. It doesn't work.
Thank you, Mike. Great to talk to you.
See you, Dan.
And that's Mike Florio. We'll take a break. Your phone calls up next. Best and worst of the weekend. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Best and worst of the weekend. Fritzy says, don't take the phone calls. And I say, yes.
I guess you could take a few.
All right. We will. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend. We start with Gibbs in Virginia Beach. Hi, Gibbs.
Fritzy, what's up with that? Not taking phone calls today, huh?
It's terrible. Harsh.
Yeah, Gibbs in Virginia Beach, not exactly Atticus Finch, checking in again. What's up, McLovin?
What's up, buddy? I thought you were too busy, isn't there? I heard somebody tripped on a wet cement sidewalk in Norfolk the other day.
Wow. There we go. But Dan, Jay Bill is talking about Woolen Gym, man. Brings back memories. We used to ball in there every day during law school. Great gym. Classic old school gym. No air conditioning, no heating, just courts running for miles. Just great times in there. Iona being back in the dance, I thought it might be a good chance for you to bring back your story about Jimmy V trying to recruit kids to what he called Iona College, and a little mistake there by some of them. And for Paulie, best and worst of the weekend, went down for one of my best friends in law school's birthday right outside of Wilson, North Carolina, Beefmaster Inn. The guy brings around a plate of ribeye, and all you say is 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, cuts it right there at the table, grills it up. 10 minutes later, it's in front of your face. And Wilbur's Barbecue for you, Paulie, down in Goldsboro. Check it out sometime.
All right. Well, thank you, Gibbs. Thanks for taking inventory there.
Gibbs got a lot done there.
Yeah, he did. Call. Yeah, Gibbs was on hold for 90 minutes, so he had a lot of things he needed to talk about. Yes, Paulie.
That's a real restaurant, the Beef Master Inn, Beefmastor, one word, Inn. Great reviews. Look at that.
Yeah, the Valvano story was Jimmy, when he first started out, it was at Iona, and then he would go in and try to recruit kids, and then he would walk up and say, hey, Jim Valvano, I own a college, and they thought he actually owned a college. And they were very impressed. And then he goes, no, it's called Iona College. Johnny in Chicago. Hi, Johnny. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Good,
missed
sir.
You on Friday. I got the best and worst of the weekend. My best, my fighting Atlanta finally won a big title since 2005. For Chicago, Loyola Chicago won another bid for the tournament. But the worst is next weekend, if they both win, they're going to face off each other, so they're going to cancel each other out. So it's a little bit low, but then at the same time, one of them's going to go out.
Yeah, Loyola Chicago had their moment. Thank you, Johnny. Thanks for the phone call. By the way, took off Friday. I went to get vaccinated, got my second vaccination, and yep. Yeah, I needed to do it, obviously. But to get the first one, and then you just kind of wait 3 weeks to get your second one, and was able to get it. I got Pfizer, and I took whatever they were willing to give me. But got vaccinated, both shots, and no side effects, no symptoms from the second one. A lot of people talk about you get chills or fever, just a sore arm, but that's it. Everything else is good. Still trying to, you know, stay smart with all of this, and to the great people on the front lines, man. They're some wonderful people, and they're there, and this is all they do. They bring you in, give you shots, send you on your way. But, you know, thank you for what they do and what they continue to do. And if you get that opportunity, it feels like you got something, you won something. When you get your vaccination, you feel like you should get a diploma or something to make it official. Yeah, Paul.
They give you an I voted sticker, and everyone wears that after the election for a couple of days. If you're in the New York Marathon, they give you one of those little plastic wraps so you can should get something.
I'm surprised that they don't. I think in Europe, they're giving you something that will be an actual card for you to travel. But you should be able to show something that says, you know, I got vaccinated there. But, I mean, it's a topic of conversation with people about if you're going to get vaccinated or you've been vaccinated, they want to let you know, I got vaccinated. You know, I'm getting vaccinated. Yeah, Seton.
Let's sort of become the new, there's like that joke, how do you know someone's vegan? Wait 5 minutes, they'll tell you. That's how you know somebody's been vaccinated, because surely within the first, well, you know, I got the shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, so I'm on the second one. I actually just got the second one now. And
I did wait until hour two to say it.
Yes, you did.
I didn't lead with this. But, you know, I was surprisingly emotional when I got it, the second one. Just because for a year I've dealt with, and I have a compromised immune system, and so you just never know. And, you know, I have people that I know who have been affected by COVID. Had a friend yesterday who tested positive, bedridden. He's probably mid-30s. You know, health, fitness guy, bedridden. I know it affects us differently. I know it's polarizing to talk about it. If you get the opportunity, in my opinion, get the shot, but do what you feel is right. But for me, there was never a doubt with anybody in my family. You know, I tell them the same thing with my children. My wife, she got vaccinated. She got the one shot, the Johnson & Johnson. But if you get the opportunity, hopefully you take advantage of the opportunity, because it at least allowed me to sort of exhale here. I update the poll results, McLovin. And,
okay, I just switched up the poll.
Oh.
So we don't have results yet.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's fine. Why don't you wait till the top of the hour and then surprise me?
Okay, it is one of the hot takes from Florio turned into a poll question.
All right. Let me get Doug in Alabama. Hey, Doug, best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, glad you got the shot, because in my book, you're essential, brother. Shout out to Chatrow and to Fritzy, the best in the business, and Mario. My favorite thing of the weekend, best of the weekend, was the call that you had with Chris Stewart on earlier. Best I've heard in 55 years of listening to sports radio. Worst of the weekend was UAB not being in the tournament, but y'all do a great job every day, and we sure do appreciate it, Dan.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate that. Very nice. Best and worst of the weekend with the Danettes coming up, top of the hour. And Patrick Ewing will join us. The Hoyas have gotten in, made a great run, winning 4 games in 4 days. We'll talk to the great Patrick Ewing. More phone calls, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Final hour coming up. One more item, second hour, the tournament finally here. Brackets have been set, teams ready to hit the court, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy, is celebrating. It's their largest free college basketball survivor pool ever. How large? $1 million in total prizes up for grabs. When you enter the free DraftKings $1 million survivor pool, you get a shot at winning $10,000 for every upset through the first two rounds of the tournament. Easy to play. You pick one team per day, and if that team wins, you survive. You advance to the next next round. Last person standing is the winner. Remember, you can only pick a team once for the entire tournament, so you have to choose wisely. DraftKings, safe, secure app. Deposit, withdraw your funds at your convenience. Get in on all this week's action. Download the DraftKings app now. Promo code is Patrick. Sign up. Enter the free $1 million Survivor Pool again. Promo code Patrick to enter the DraftKings free $1 million Survivor Pool. Eligibility restrictions and terms and conditions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Good luck.